Praise God, praise God. I got a word from God today. I don't know how many people needed to confirm my message. Sister Downs, Brother David have already confirmed the message that I got today. So take your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I just want to give a very big thank you to our musicians and singers that have done such a good job today. Amen. Praise God. And our tech team who have made all of this possible. Those upstairs, you got Brother Alec, Brother Ben, Lachlan, Downs, my son, Morty, Sister Mary Ann. They're doing a great job. Let's put our hands together for them as well. We're just going to get better at this, all right? So it might be good now, but we're going to make it even better. As we become more and more acquainted with our equipment. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I hope you've got your Bibles out there in your homes. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to read from verses 1 through to 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through to 4. Now, here's a test to see if everyone's paying attention. Say amen if you've got it. Good. Praise God. The Bible says this. Moreover, or for brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers, looking back to the Exodus and the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, funny that we're still on that, isn't it? We're still talking about the book of Exodus and coming out of Egypt and going forward. I would not, Paul says, that you should be ignorant how all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. They all drank the same spiritual meat. They all drank the same spiritual drink. And where did they get it from? For they drank of that spiritual rock. That spiritual rock. They drank from that spiritual rock that followed them. And let's read those last five words. And that rock was Christ. They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them wherever they went. And that rock was Christ. I want to take a few moments today, taking the title of an old song we used to sing. But I want to preach on this title. I go to the rock. I go to the rock. Amen. I go to the rock. And the song used to say, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I go to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When all around is sinking sand, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, where do we go? I go to the rock. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is alive and it's going to speak to us today. Help our hearts to be prepared for what you're going to say to us, Lord, through this service. We're going to receive it in our hearts. We're going to be encouraged. We're going to apply it to our lives and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And all the church at home and here says amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I go to the rock. I go to the rock. Bishop Downs will be ministering tonight at 6 o'clock. Church will be open here. For those that want to be here, you can come. We've got plenty of room to be able to spread out. We've also got our auditorium. We've also got our foyer where people can comfortably spread out. And so you can be with us tonight, either here or via streaming. But I encourage everyone to be either online or here. I go to the rock. Paul was writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And Paul was, in his letters, if you read them, he taught a lot about the Jewish people. In fact, he taught the Corinthian people a lot about the Jewish people. And although the majority of the Corinthian believers were Gentiles, Paul wanted to make sure that they understood that the Old Testament Israelites were their spiritual fathers. And so he was making that link, the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He said to the church at Corinth, he said, your spiritual fathers were the Israelites. Even though you were Gentiles, and Paul was a preacher to the Gentiles, even though you were Gentiles, your spiritual fathers are the same ones that came out of Egypt, the Israelites. And so Paul is making the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament believers. In the scripture that we've read, and hopefully you've got it there in front of you, Paul talks about the cloud. He refers to the cloud that led the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. He talks about the cloud that led the Israelites when they were coming out of the wilderness. The cloud. Everybody say the cloud. He talks about the sea. He refers to when they were crossing the Red Sea. Then he talks about spiritual meat. It wasn't physical meat, although God did provide manna, but he also is talking about spiritual meat, God's sustenance and provision in the wilderness. And he was referring to manna, but also spiritual. Then he talks about the spiritual drink, which is referring to the water that came from the rock, but also that God supplied their needs and their thirst in that time. And then we also see, aside from the cloud, aside from the sea, aside from the spiritual meat, aside from the spiritual drink, we also see the word baptized. Everybody say baptized. And they were baptized. The Israelites, as they came out of Egypt, they were baptized in the cloud and in the water. And that speaks of being baptized in water and the baptism of the Spirit. That is a type and a shadow of the New Testament teaching that Jesus taught in John 3. When he spoke to Nicodemus, he said, "Except a man be born of water and of Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." And so the children of Israel were baptized in the water and in the cloud, speaking of water and Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except you are born again of water and of Spirit." And so we see two baptisms were required by the children of Israel. And the same is with us as New Testament believers, two baptisms, a baptism in the Spirit and a baptism in water. And that's why Peter said in Acts 2:38, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Amen. And so it speaks of baptism. But I want to focus today on the rock. Everybody say, the rock. There used to be an old song, "Jesus is the rock and he rolls my blues away." Amen. And maybe we've got some blues today, but Jesus is the rock and he rolls our blues away. But the Bible tells us what this rock was. It says it. Paul tells us exactly. We don't have to try to come up with any theology to try and understand what was this rock. It tells us, first of all, that it was a spiritual rock. And then it just says so clearly, it says, and that rock was Christ. Everyone say Jesus. And so Paul was talking about the rock that followed the children of Israel, and he said that rock was Christ. It was the presence of God that was following the people of God. And I've come here today to tell you that it doesn't matter what we go through, whether we go through the wilderness, whether we're being pursued by the enemy that's coming out of Egypt, whatever we go through, whether it is sickness, whether it is financial crisis, whether it is family crisis, we've got a rock. Amen. That follows us, and that rock is Jesus Christ. The rock followed them. And so Paul was telling the Corinthian church, "I don't want you to be ignorant about our forefathers. They came out of Egypt. They followed the cloud by day. They followed the pillar of fire by night. Manna fell from heaven. Water came out of the rock, and that rock was following them, and that rock was Christ. God was with them." And I've come to remind us today, God is with us. He is our rock. He is our rock. And I don't know how far the circumstances are going to go. I don't know how bad the situation is going to be. But I want to tell this church today that we've got to be planted and standing on the rock. When all around is sinking sand, when everything else is shifting, there is one thing that remains strong, and that is Jesus Christ, our rock. Amen. Praise God. Clap your hands to the Lord. I go to the rock. If I look through the Bible, you see the rock a number of times. In fact, strangely enough, and this is a little bit of an interesting one, but in Genesis 28, Jacob found a rock. Jacob found a rock. Genesis 28, verse 11, and it says this, "And he lighted upon a certain place," or he came to a certain place, "and he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones," he took a rock of that place, the stones, "and he put them for his pillow, and he lay down in that place to sleep." Jacob found a rock. Jacob, I find this remarkable, that Jacob was able to lay his head on a stone and go to sleep. Now, I don't know, I'm probably not able to do that. I need a nice soft pillow. Recently, as I've got a little bit older, I went and invested in a pillow, you know, a nice latex one, you know, with a, you know, the foam is all really nice. But I don't know if I could sleep with my head on a rock. And Jacob was able to lay his head on a rock, and he was able to go to sleep. What's even more surprising is that he was able to put his head on a rock and go to sleep, but he was running for his life. He was concerned for his life. Everything he had uprooted, and his family had split. They had been divided. Esau was pursuing him, wanting to take his life. He had so many troubles, but Jacob found a rock. Jacob found a rock. Even in the midst of his crisis, he could lay his head on that stone. He could lay his head on that rock. And even in the midst of all the trouble he was experiencing, he could find a place of rest. He could find a place where there was no stress. He could find a place where he could be rejuvenated and energized. He laid his head on a rock. And I want to submit to you today that I believe the rock that we can lay our head on when we're in trouble is that rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a rock. And so he comes to a place, Jacob comes to a place where he couldn't run any further. He became tired. And maybe you're tired today. He had to lay down. And when you need to lay down, you need a pillow. And Jacob found a pillow. He found a rock, which is Jesus Christ. Jacob was out of his comfort zone. He was in a hard place. He was in a cold place. But he found, instead of a warm, comfortable bed, he found a rock. And I believe that rock for us is Jesus Christ. How could Jacob sleep? How could he sleep on a hard rock? Unless his security, his real security, was found in something more than his ability to outrun his pursuers. He couldn't do that. He couldn't outrun those that were chasing him. He couldn't get away from the trouble that was coming after him. Esau, with all of his herds and with all of his soldiers, were coming to take him out. He couldn't outrun, but he found security in something that was outside of himself. Jacob knew a rock that was more than just a mineral. Jacob knew a rock which was more than just the hard thing that you find on the ground. Jacob saw his rock as the rock of ages, the rock of ages. And I want to remind us today that we, the church, have a rock, and that rock follows us. And that rock is a spiritual rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. And I'm standing firm today. I know you're standing firm today, because we're in all sorts of trouble. We've got no security really, because in man, they can't do very much at all. But we've got a rock, and that rock is Jesus. Amen. You see, he could lay his head, he could lay all his fears on the rock. If you've got fear today, I want to tell you, you can lay your fears on the rock. In fact, if it were not for God, the rock, here it is in Psalm 18 verse 2. It says this: "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock." Turn to your neighbor and just shout out to them, "My God is my rock. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge." Everybody say refuge. "He's the horn. He's the strength of my salvation, my stronghold." You see, I want to remind everybody, even the rock can become soft. Soft enough to lay your head down and find rest. Jesus is the rock, and I go to the rock. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, when I'm in trouble, I go to the rock. And maybe there's people even here today in this place. Maybe there's people today joining us online. Maybe you're like Jacob and you've been running from God. You're on the run. Maybe you've come to an end of yourself. You say, you know what? You've thrown your hands up and say, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what I can do." But let me tell you, you can find the comforter. You can find rest. You can find peace. You can find hope in the rock. And that rock was Jesus Christ. Amen. Nobody else knew where Jacob was, but the rock knew where he was. Nobody else may know where you are and what you're feeling right now, but the rock knows exactly where you are. The rock knows what you're feeling, and that rock is Christ. And so if you're here today in this place, or if you're here online today, it's time to come back to Jesus. it's time to come back to the rock. If you find yourself overtaken by fear, it's time to come back to the rock. If you find yourself hindered by anxiety and eaten up with anxiety, it's time to come back to the rock. If you're stressed, I want to remind somebody today that there is rest, and that is in the rest that Jesus Christ gives us. We have a rock, and I go to the rock. Amen. I go to the rock. Clap your hands. Amen. So Moses and the children of Israel, they were in the wilderness. And turning your Bibles to Exodus 17, verse 6. Exodus 17, verse 6. And so there they were in the wilderness, and the children of Israel, they say to Moses, "We need, as a nation, we need something to drink. We need something to drink." In Exodus 17, verse 6, it says, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock," Moses. You're going to smite the rock. "And there shall water come out of the rock, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. They said, we need a drink. And God said, "Moses, smite the rock. Take your rod." The rod. Take your rod, Moses. It's no longer your rod. In fact, it's the rod of God. But take your rod, Moses, and smite the rock. God was telling Moses, he said, "Moses, I want you to take the same rod that parted the waters, the same rod. I want you to take that same rod that's got you out of trouble before. I want you to take the same rod, and I want you to use it again. I want you to use it again." I'm going to stop and take a little detour right here. Never throw away your Old Testament. Never throw away your Old Testament. Never throw it away. What God has done in the past is going to give you strength for today. And God said, "Moses, take that rod." You remember that Old Testament? When you parted the waters with that rod, take that rod and now smite the rod. Never forget your old testimonies. Never forget what God has done in the past. Moses, take the rod and use it again. We sang it already. He can do it again. He's moved mountains before. He can move mountains again. Take your rod and smite the rock. Smite the rock. What was the rock that followed them? The rock was Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, that is a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ. It was a spiritual rock. And just like Moses smote that rock and water came forth, Jesus Christ in the New Testament, a few weeks ago I talked about antitypes and types. Jesus, just like Moses smote the rock and water came out, Jesus was smitten on Calvary and blood and water also came forth out of his body. You see, we have a rock, and that rock was Jesus Christ. Another day, Moses needed water again. Moses was desperate. They're in the wilderness, and he's trying to lead this massive group of refugees. They got nowhere to stay. It was no picnic for Moses. It was difficult. There was grumblings and murmurings about what he should do, and there they are. They're in the desert. They've got nothing to drink. It is unbearable. With Miriam recently dead, Moses has now got this mutinous crowd coming against him, and all he's got is his trusty sidekick, Aaron. He needed a word from God. "What am I going to do? The people are thirsty. We're in the wilderness. What are we going to do? God, I need a word from you." Moses and Aaron in Numbers 20 verse 6 says, they went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and they fell face down. And there it says, he fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to Moses and Aaron. Moses saw the glory. God gave him a word. He experienced the flash, and he experienced the bang of the divine as he sought God and cried out to God. Moses came seeking an answer, and God gave him one. Numbers 20 verse 8. You can turn there in your Bibles if you're at home. Hopefully it's on the screen. Numbers 20 verse 8. "Take the staff. Remember Moses, that staff, take it, and you and your brother Aaron shall gather the assembly together." You don't have to smite the rock anymore. He doesn't hit the rock this time. He doesn't smite it this time. What does he do? He speaks to the rock. He says, speak to that rock before your eyes, and I will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they can drink and their livestock can drink. Then Moses raised his arms and he struck the rock twice with his staff. What did God say? He said, speak. Water gushed out. God says, Moses, you know where to go. Moses, you know where to go. Previously, when you needed water, when you needed an answer, when you needed refreshing, you knew, you went to the rock. Moses, you need an answer again. The people are thirsty. The people need strength. Where are you going to go, Moses? Moses, you're going to go to the same place you went before. I go to the rock. Never forget your Old Testament, church. Never forget. In previous hard times, you went to the rock. In previous times of financial crisis, you went to the rock. In previous times of sickness, you went to the rock. When you had questions, you went to the rock. I've come to encourage the church today, at here and at home. It's time to go to the rock, and that rock is Jesus. That rock is Jesus. I go to the rock. God, I need you right now. Let me tell you, he's already been smitten for us. He's already died on the cross. You don't need to strike him. You can just speak to him now because he has died for us. I need a touch from heaven. I need a touch from your spirit, God. God says, no, I don't need to be smitten. I've already been smitten. I've already died for your sins. Now you can just speak to me. We've got a rock, a spiritual rock. A rock that follows us. And that rock was Jesus Christ. Another time when Moses was on the mountain, when he raised his hands, you remember the story, when Moses' hands were raised, the enemy was defeated in the valley. The enemy was defeated. When Moses lowered his hands, the enemy began to prevail again. And so Moses had to get his arms up. And Aaron and Hur, they realize that there is a relationship between what is going on the mountain with Moses' hands and what is going on in the valley. Aaron and Hur realize that when Moses' hands are up, the children of Israel are winning the battle. But when his arms fall down, that the enemy begin to prevail. They see the relationship between what is happening on the mountain and what is happening in the valley. In fact, Aaron and Hur see that Moses is doing more on the mountain without a sword, without a spear. Moses is doing more on the mountain without a shield than what Joshua is doing in the valley with all of the weapons. And so what does Moses do? Moses doesn't run down into the valley to help Joshua fight. Aaron and Hur don't run down into the valley to fight. No. Aaron and Hur run up to the mountain where Moses is because they realize he's the shepherd. He's their leader. He says, if we have no shepherd, we have no sheep. Another verse says, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And so at first, they begin to hold up Moses' hands. They begin to lift up his hands because they realize the connection between their leader's hands being lifted up and the victory prevailing in the valley. They hold up his hands, but that couldn't happen for hours on end. So what do? In Exodus chapter 17, verse 12 to 15, they come. They realize that Moses has got to have some support. They realize that his hands have got to be up. And what they do, they come and they roll a stone. And that rock was, that spiritual rock was Jesus Christ. They rolled a stone to support Moses so his weight could rest on the stone. And if you read the account, his hands were up until the end of the day. I want to remind you, there is nothing in the Bible by mistake. The Bible says very clearly, it says that there was a rock that followed the people of God. It was a spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. Water flowed out of that rock. The rock was a support for Moses. The answer was in the rock. And I've come to encourage us, our answer is still in the rock. And that rock was Christ. Amen. God says, I don't have a problem destroying Amalek, but I want you to learn a principle for the rest of your life, Moses, Aaron, and Hur. I want you to learn a principle. Well, the principle, God says to Aaron, Moses, and Hur, he said, the principle is more important than your problem. The principle. And this is what I'm preaching today. This principle I am preaching, what I am preaching about today, is more important than our problem. The principle. Once you learn the principle, Moses, write it down. If you can learn it now, if God can deliver you now, He can do it there. You see, the principle is, whatever you face, whatever you're going through, when you've got no strength, Moses, you've got to go to the rock. Amen. I go to the rock. So write it down, Moses. The same God that delivered you yesterday is the same God that will deliver you today. That's why He's called the Rock of Ages. The Rock of Ages. He is the rock that follows us. And Paul said in Acts 17, verse 27, he said that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not very far from any one of us. That they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him and they will find Him, though He be not very far from any one of us. What do you mean, Pastor? What do you mean? How is it that He's not very far from any one of us? You know why? It's the same in the Old Testament, because that rock followed them. Wherever they went, there was a rock. That same rock is following us. And Samuel, 1 Samuel 2 verse 2, it says, there is none holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside Him, nor is there any... Somebody got to have that in their Bible. Neither or nor is there any rock like our God. And that rock was Christ. Isaiah 44 verse 8 says, do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God beside me, or is there any other rock? And that rock was Jesus Christ. He says, I know not one. When you start trembling, I go to the rock. When you're starting to feel afraid, I go to the rock. I run to the rock. I can't face this on my own anymore. I need a rock. Amen. David and Goliath. How can I go any further? Brother David already mentioned David and Goliath. Everybody's talking about rocks. Just a confirmation for what I'm preaching today. Nobody can withstand this Goliath that is coming against the people of God. Everyone is scared. Everyone. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Goliath, you know, it's probably code for COVID. COVID-19. The Goliath that we're facing right now. Everybody is scared. I want to tell you, a scared world needs a fearless church. And how can we be fearless? Because we've got faith. And how can we have faith? Yeah, I can tell you why we can have faith. Because our faith is not in man. Our faith is in God. And so David turns up. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 44, and the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. David walked up, and everybody's scared. He says, why is everybody so scared around here? What's going on? What's your problem? Why are you so fearful? David says, I got some testimonies that I can call on right now. Just like Moses, God told him, take that old rod. Don't forget your old testimony. And David says, I got some testimonies of times past. Let me tell you my testimony. God delivered a lion into my hands. God delivered a bear into my hands. And these are just some of the testimonies that I've got that God has done for me. God has done so much for me. He's done all of these things. I believe that the same rock that was with me when I fought the lion, the same rock that was with me when I fought the bear, that same rock is going to be with me if I go into battle against Goliath. And that same rock is going to be with us when we go into battle against COVID. I don't need armor because the rock is following me. And David says, you know what I'm going to do? There is Goliath. There's only one thing I know to do. I'm going to go down to the brook and I'm going to find him. And what's he doing? He's looking for a rock. In the Old Testament, the Bible says, and that rock was Christ. He's looking for a rock. David, stop. Are you crazy? He came up to from that brook with the five smooth stones. The five smooth stones. Everyone say five. And there's not in my notes. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, unto us a son is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. One God, one rock. Are you crazy, David? I'm not crazy. I'm going to go to the rock. I'm going to go to the rock. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword. You come to me with spear. You come to me with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defiled. Goliath, I've got a rock on my side. I go to the rock when I need a shelter, when I need a friend, when I feel like I can't do it on my own. I go to the rock. Church, we are not in this battle by ourselves. For those of you at home and watching, I want to remind you, we are not in this battle by ourselves. For those of you who are just watching by yourself today, you just with you and your screen, you're watching it today by yourself. You are not alone. There is a rock that follows us. He is with us. We are not by ourselves. Jesus is our rock. Clap your hands to God. Psalm 27 verse 1, as the musicians come, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's on the screen for everyone to see, is it? Let's read it out together, church, nice and loud, so all of your voices can go through this microphone and everyone at home can hear it as well. Let's read it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We're not afraid. Why? Because I go to the rock. We've got a rock. We are not alone. I've got the rock of ages. And so now, more than ever, I've grown up in Australia and I haven't been through a time like this. That doesn't mean that there aren't people here today that haven't been through hard times. Many people in our church have been in their countries. They've been through wars. They've been through famines. They've been through sicknesses like this as well, plagues as well. So many in our church have been through that, but I have never been through that. But now more than ever, I believe, especially for me, I need the rock. I've never realized until now how much I really need the rock. I knew I needed the rock, but now I know I really need the rock. I need the rock. No matter, write this down, no matter how dark things get, never forget that the church's history, the New Testament church, 2,000 years of history, is a story of challenges answered. They've tried to kill Christians here. They've tried to kill Christians there. They've tried to wipe out the church, but the church's 2,000 year of history is a story of challenges answered. The church has always risen. Persecution in the New Testament church caused the church to scatter, but it brought revival. We have a rock that follows us, and that rock was Christ. Let's stand all across this place. I'm talking today about a God that follows you. I'm talking today about a God that follows me. I'm talking about a God that follows His church and His people. You are not alone, church. You are not alone. And while we're standing here in church, and we may feel alone because we're a little bit distanced, we've got our separation, our physical distancing happening. You may feel alone, but you're not alone. And that old song, I'm sure the young musicians don't know it these days and we're not about to sing it, but I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Everyone else has rejected him, but to me, he's the cornerstone. When all around is sinking sand, it certainly sounds like the days we're living in. When all around is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. The old song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. Amen. My hope is built on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I go to the rock. David said it like this. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. He is my buckler and the horn of my salvation. He is my high tower. David said it like this in Psalm 62 verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. Why? Because I'm standing on the rock. Psalm 61 verse 2 says, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock. I go to the rock. Clap your hands. I go to the rock. Psalm 95 verse 1 says, oh come, let us sing for joy unto the Lord. Let us shout joyfully unto the rock of our salvation. Hallelujah. I thank God we've got a rock. We got to go to the rock. I go to the rock. Frank Sinatra gets a bad rap for singing that song, you know, especially by Christians. He sang that song, I Did It My Way. We read that as being, and interpret it as being very proud. I did it my way. Because we as Christians know that we don't do it our way. We do it God's way. But Frank Sinatra gets a very bad rap for singing that, especially by Christians, I want to remind you that he also sang a song called Jesus is the Rock in the Weary Land. The words go like this. It sounds a little bit repetitive, but I'm just going to read some of the words. Jesus is the rock in the weary land. The weary land, the weary land. Jesus is the rock in the weary land. He's my shelter in the time of storm. The prophet Isaiah said it like this. Trust in the Lord forever, for in our God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. The book of Acts says it like this in Acts 4, verse 11 and 12. This is the stone, speaking of Jesus, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I go to the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Let's lift him up in our houses today. Hallelujah.